first item we have on the agenda is a discussion of Deep Creek Lake Watershed Management Plan. For those of you who were in attendance at the State of the County, that was one item that we readily admitted that we have not progressed on the way that we would like to. So we are trying to move into a position that we can adopt the plan, approve the plan, and move forward with it. To that end, we have modified goal number 12 slightly. Those of you that were involved with the plan know that goal number 12 was the water levels goal. Worked with various stakeholders and David and some folks from the town of Friendsville and some others on that, came to a compromise that we've made some changes to. It will be online, the modified plan, by tomorrow, so people can take a look at that. We are going to have a public hearing on the watershed management plan on January the 28th at 7 o'clock. What was the room number? What's the room number? The geography room. In the, we'll have to post the room number. Carol has if she comes back in. It's a continuing education building. The geography room with the theater seating that we did the, that's the big room. Not too old. It's the geography room where we did the budget hearing. It's on the corner. We'll make sure it's posted and everybody will know about that. But in the meantime, the main point, been changed slightly. It's all going to be online tomorrow. Check it out. If you have public comment on the evening of the 28th, be the time for public commentary. It will be a public hearing, not a public discussion. The board won't take questions at that time, so if you have questions in advance, email us, call one of us, stop by and see us. The hearing, you'll have 3 minutes to speak. If you want to bring materials, if you think you'll have more information than that, if you want to send materials in advance, I got some from some of you guys already, or if you want to leave materials there, you know, afterwards, that's fine. We'll take everything into consideration and then move forward with that from there. So we also understand and want everyone else to understand the way we view this as a plan. It's not a tort or an ordinance. It's simply that. It's a plan. It'll be malleable. And I'm sure as other... As issues arise and subside, the plan might change and certain aspects might become more important than others. We realize, and especially looking at some of the faces in the room here, for some of you this is the biggest item that you're concerned about, and we understand that. So if you have thoughts, concerns, comments, let us know. Some of you we've met with multiple times and appreciate the input. I don't know if Jim and Larry have anything to add.
Did you say 7 or 6 o'clock for the meeting? I had 6. I don't know.
What did I say?
7.
We agreed on 6.
Yeah, it's 6. I'm sorry. I'm glad you mentioned that. 6 o'clock. My apologies.
The other thing I would add to it is, as Paul said, it's a plan. It doesn't have to be perfect. Even with its flaws, it's probably better than what we have now, which is essentially nothing. I'm sure there'll be changes as we go. As we go through the implementation, I think we'll learn there'll be modifications and changes to it. But it's in everybody's interest, I think, to have a plan. So we'll all strive for the same thing. We just have different ideas. I think maybe on some of the details about how to get there.
And the room number is room 224.
Yes. That room is not accessible for teleconferencing. And I would hope, given that this would be of great interest to many people who are not in the area, that you might reconsider
The big room that is set up for teleconferencing is booked that night, so it is unavailable. We wanted to do it at the lake rather than here to be more in proximity to the folks that are involved.
They're most of them not here.
There's a lot of them right here.
No.
We felt it important to have the meeting at the place that impacts the most, which is at the lake. We will, Kevin, can you check with
yes.
Nathaniel and those guys, see if we can come up. I think you make a very good point, and we'll do what we can. Larry, anything to add? All right, next is the readoption of Garrett County employee pension plans.
The IRS requires that government-sponsored employee tax-qualified retirement plans must be reauthorized every 5 years. Our current plan expires January 31st, 2016. Therefore, I would like to request that the board adopts both the employee retirement plan as well as the law enforcement retirement plan. We can do each one separately. So the first one would be to readopt the Garrett County Employees Retirement Plan.
This is the, not the...
This is the employees,
employees
retirement.
Retirement.
Yes, that's correct.
Any discussion on that? Motion to readopt the plan.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries.
This would be the same plan for the law enforcement employees. By the way, there was no changes made to either plan. We're just readopting them. So I'd ask for consideration of the motion to readopt the law enforcement employees retirement plan.
Discussion on that. Motion to approve.
Second.
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 Question on motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion approved.
Thank you, John.
One comment I'd like to make, because I know most of the folks that are left anyway, are have been following the fracking issue for the last year. Over the last couple of days and weeks, as you guys are aware, we have made a request to MDE to be part of the process. Kevin finalized a meeting with MDE for us on Wednesday, so we'll be traveling to Baltimore to meet with them to discuss the procedure of how they're going to do the proposed regulations, to once again advocate to have those meetings here, to have lots of public, to have you all have an opportunity to comment and be privy to those discussions. So we will hopefully after Wednesday have a better idea, because we keep talking about regulations and what they might be and what the process might be and everything else, and hopefully Wednesday will give us an opportunity to give real information and say this is what's going to happen, this is how it's going to happen, and this is how you can participate or be involved. So keep posted for that, and we'll bring that information back after Wednesday and try to keep everybody as informed as possible. Having is there anything I missed on that? Having said that, we're way ahead of schedule, which is good, and we come with time for public comment. So does anybody have any questions or comments for us? Yes, sir.
Yeah, my name is Richard Matley, and my question is that just how to put it on the agenda, like, is that I was on the Lake Levels Committee of the Watershed Management, spent a year and a half of my time. I'm presently on the Settlement Committee for the Policy and Review Board, And the only question is are we sure that we involved enough people in this modification to the plan of people that I don't know that there was anybody involved that sat on that committee of lake levels that could address and have all the input so that you guys had enough information to make a modification to the plan.
That's why there's going to be a public hearing for anyone to comment and provide additional information that they want to do.
Okay. As long as we're on record at this committee that we made that question.
Yes.
Thank you.
And what's the process afterwards, after the public hearing?
Then we'll take that information, we'll look at it, and we'll move forward.
No specific time or date that you're planning on signing it, or?
No, not that we're, because we don't know. I mean, if there's going to be lots of changes, it might take a long time. If there's very little comment to change much, it might not be. We'll make sure that people know that in advance, but right now we're not willing to say it'll be a week after, a month after. It will be done as expeditiously as possible, as we have promised to try to be more timely on that.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Is this just the water level change? Is that the focus of the hearing, or is it the whole watershed
it's
plan?
It's the entire plan.
Okay, I have a question about that. You're not going to take people's questions at the hearing. When will you take actual questions from the public at some point?
At any time you want to email,
no,
call,
no,
or ask.
No, I mean in a public forum like this.
We're in one right now.
Well, I mean, I don't know what questions to ask yet.
There's another meeting on the 19th.
You will take questions at the hearing.
We won't respond.
Right.
Here.
Right.
Yeah, we will take questions. We won't dialogue at the hearing.
Well, because if somebody has questions after the hearing about stuff that went on in the hearing, mm-hmm. How do you get, I mean, what formal process can you do? Can't you just have a public forum of some sort?
That's what we are doing. It is called a public hearing, where everyone in the public has an opportunity to say whatever they want, ask whatever they want.
Oh, okay.
We will not dialogue at the time. Everyone will have 3 minutes. If you have questions, we can take the questions down, we can email them to you, or we can talk again afterwards. We're not going to shut you out from not, you know, if you have questions, we're not going to not answer them. We're just not going to get into a discussion that night because we want people that have things to say to have time to do it, mm-hmm. If that makes sense. But we can always, you know, Paul sent us stuff and Barbara sent us. You can always send us in advance questions or comments or concerns at any time.
The question I have is, you say you can modify this plan and it can mm-hmm. be changed. No.
Sure.
What are you guys going to do about the no fracking in the 71,000 acres around the lake?
I'm not sure.
Isn't there something in the watershed plan that says there's no fracking allowed?
No well bore within
the wellheads.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is that going to be changed?
It would not be. Anything could be, because it's a plan and not a law, it can be changed at any time. I mean, there's nothing there now, so whatever we would adopt, potentially any of it could be changed or nothing could be changed, but our goal is to have something put into place that is worthy of not necessarily going back in and changing. I can express to you, and I don't want to speak for these guys, my intent is to adopt the plan and follow the plan as close as we can, including that and everything else. 10 years from now, could it change? Of course it could. I think I'm very convinced that if we adopt the plan, you're not going to see us in the next 3 years of our term change in any way. But the plan, as a nature of a plan and not being bound by law to be teeth and nail to what's written, can be changed at any time.
I guess from the point of view of like a businessman or ecologist or whatever, if there's a lot of uncertainty in that.
There's a lot of uncertainty now.
Well, right, but
I understand what you're asking and I appreciate the question. it would be disingenuous for me to sit here and say the plan is the plan and it will never change, because we all might get voted out the next time. The next three guys might come in and say we're changing the whole thing. Because it is not bound by law, it can be changed at any time. I'm very comfortable in saying the three of us aren't going to change it once it's adopted. At least, you know, unless something drastic would happen.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Barb.
The participation issue, I want to get back to that in process. It's not only people having an opportunity who are directly impacted in, who are Lake people who are not here, but that the county, you know, and again, this is difficult for a number of us who've been involved in this before you all came on board, and I think that there is some learning and gathering about some of the issues. And the primary issue is it is a watershed plan. It is a Deep Creek Lake watershed plan. That means everybody in the watershed should have been engaged. It should not represent the narrow views of a certain sector of the lake community that we, from the very beginning, urged the county commissioners, the prior county commissioners, to at least provide notice, to send out a letter to everybody in the watershed, because there's a substantial number of local residents, your constituents, who know nothing about this. And the previous county commissioners, it was going to cost too much money. Friends of Deep Creek Lake said, you generate the list, we'll pay for printing, we'll pay for postage. You just send the notice that it's going to happen. And they didn't do that. So you have to think there was an intentional act, is how I take away, that it wasn't everybody involved. And
are you talking about a hearing?
No, just notice that the process was going to take place. Inviting them to come to the first meeting, which happened in October, and to provide a mechanism for people, and again, I have to emphasize, your constituents were excluded intentionally from the process from day one. So as somebody who cares a lot about the county, a lot about the community, who loathes the we, they, those lake people dynamics, to have something driven without the ability of people from the watershed. There are people in the watershed who are paying, who have nothing to do with the lake, but because of tax 6 or 18, are paying outrageous property. They should have a voice to be able to say to you, you need to find some other way to do the assessment so that I, who don't live anywhere near the lake, have nothing to do with the lake, but I happen to live in that District 18, you've got to provide them an opportunity to at least plead their case. And there's so many other things that are built into the plan which are, you know, biased against local residents, your constituents.
To be honest, that's one of the reasons why we're going to have the public hearing.
Okay, but I just, please, just having in the paper isn't, you know, you're not going to get people who don't even know what it is. I mean, they've been excluded from the whole process, so they say Deep Creek, we dropped out Lake, so it isn't even the Deep Creek Lake Watershed Plan. It's Deep Creek Watershed Management Plan. That's going to go, you know, you're not providing that opportunity for your constituents.
Well, we are providing the opportunity.
Yeah, but they're not, but you know about outreach.
But you're volunteering, I will accept your volunteerism,
okay.
Right?
And, you know, if you have a list, we'll pay for printing and postage to encourage people. Kevin?
We'll talk.
Yeah.
I'll talk with Kevin afterwards.
This is very, again, this is opportunities, and I think the point of, well, okay, this is step one, and this is wonderful. We're pushing the cart down the road here, and I applaud it. But it's just, let's not have it a very small process with just the people in this room, or the people who were in this room. That's...
It's available for anyone to come.
Yeah, but if they don't know, they're not going to be there. And if they don't feel their voices can be heard.
Thanks. Mike?
Well, I think a lot of the concerns are really about the process of change. There is going to be changes, situations change, circumstances change, so you have to adapt to that. But what's the process? He pointed out that he'd worked for a year and a half on this, and you guys made changes.
Right.
Sort of behind closed doors. It reminds me of the last
Well, let me correct you. Changes were made. There are proposed changes that are going to be put online for everyone in here to look at and comment on.
And we can
so there, it's transparent as it can be. It hasn't been adopted.
But if you don't know it's online and you weren't here at this meeting.
I guess the thing that a lot of people are concerned about, I look at the last time the master plan was updated. John Nelson, in my view, I told you this several times, did a tremendous job in traveling around the county, talking to anybody that wanted to talk to him, to have a dialogue. So it's open, anybody can participate, including with the consultants who made a lot of presentations to the community. And he came up with a plan that I think the community accepted because they'd been part of the process. That gives them buy-in to the outcome. But then the commissioners, behind closed doors, without talking to anybody else, took out three or four sentences or three or four paragraphs dealing with the windmills. It's that kind of a thing that causes concern about the process for making these changes. And for example, maybe it would be useful after you go to the hearing on the 28th to have a commission meeting, your next commission meeting, put that on the agenda and talk about it. What'd you guys think about what you heard? Have a dialogue. I don't know what the problem with the dialogue is, but it's that concern about the process where people spend time providing input and then decisions are made back there and that's done. So I think maybe you can give some thought to how that process might be embellished with some sort of a dialogue.
Well, as I stated before, and I appreciate your comment and I agree with you, we're trying to be as open as we can be. We're putting everything out there. We're inviting comment. We have meeting after meeting. And Barbara, I don't disagree with what you said, but you know, I sit through these meetings, and I hate to go off on a tangent here, but you know, the responsibility is on the citizenry as much as it is on us to be involved and be engaged. And we can't, you know, we can lead the horse to water, but we can't make him drink. Every meeting we have is open, and it's publicized. And if you choose not to be informed, I applaud Mark Stutzman. He puts stuff out all the time on his website to inform people what's going on. The Republican does. Kevin, there's by law, we have to put things out. And if people are out there and they're just not informed because they don't want to be informed, I mean, I don't know how you rectify that. I don't know, you know, I don't know how you do that. We've tried to be as open as we can. We're putting everything we're doing online. We're having public meeting and public hearing every time we turn around to try to engage with people. This whole thing of when will you take comments and questions, we have email addresses. You can email us and call us and stop by at any time you have a question. We're not ignoring anybody. We're not, you know, it's the opportunity is there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for anyone in this county or outside the county to engage with any one of us. They have to take the initiative. My question to you, Barbara, and I'm not trying to be facetious on this, but if it means that much to them, why aren't they engaged?
Right. Because they were excluded at the beginning and you see Deep Creek Lake and they go, that doesn't relate to me. When in fact, if they live in the watershed, it does. But people don't understand that they live in the watershed. We ran, Friends of Deep Creek Lake ran a watershed map and an ad before during the process, trying to build the awareness.
Did that generate any more interest or participation by non-lake watershed people?
It's
apparently not.
It, well, no, if you're not invited to the table in the first place, I don't know. I am not, sir. You
I'm
know
just
I'm
Paul.
Not spoken, speaking.
I'm not, sir.
Yeah, I am not speaking to you all. I am.
I know. I know
the history on how we got here
exactly.
And how it reinforces the we they. And the intentional exclusion in the process.
We are intentionally trying not
yes,
to exclude anybody.
Which is why I felt that I could.
Can I just
and
ask?
Absolutely. If we're trying to keep it a secret, we're sure going about it in the wrong way.
Right.
I would say. And I respect you and
mm-hmm.
all you've done, but I think your assertion or assessment that it was people were intentionally excluded is, in my opinion, not correct.
Were you in?
Well, I went back prior to the meeting and kind of read the
right.
preliminary report about how the thing started and the different committees were formed, the subcommittees were
this
informed,
is prior to
that the they were advertised, and it states in the report that every person that expressed an interest in participating in any of the subcommittees was given an opportunity to participate. But it comes back to what Paul says, you know, you and I'm not picking at you, but you said something like everyone in watershed has to be engaged. All we can do is give everyone in the watershed an opportunity to be engaged. If they
yes.
choose to ignore it and not participate.
Right. No, and I absolutely
and the truth
agree.
Is, the truth is, Barbara, as a native, I can tell you, someone was born in here and grew up here.
Right.
A lot of people don't, a lot of people in that watershed don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the flat truth about it.
Right.
I wish more people were as concerned as you are and want to get involved and be concerned. But that's sadly
not
the case.
I'm not, I'm just saying.
I think the point's taken. To try to be as inclusive
yeah.
as we can, to
right.
try to advertise
you
as much as we can at the opportunity.
Or a new slate.
And we appreciate it. Hold on a second. The gentleman in the back set his hand up.
Yeah, I'm Ron Stewart. I guess I've been in here quite a few times about the water and the sewage and that. Like Deep Creek down there and that. Why don't they do like New York and that? Bring a big barge in, dredge Deep Creek, clean it out and that. Make the water good. Maybe people be satisfied then. No.
Yep.
All the people like in watershed and that at Deep Creek, what about the people above? And that we live up above there, like Big York and that Little York. All the sewage and that's draining into it. The health department's not doing a thing about it. And that health department's out in my house and that Monday griping neighbors' webs because sewage is leaking. Why don't they bring a camera and take pictures of the neighbors and that where the sewage is coming right over on top of the ground, running on top of the ground. And why don't they do something about that? The EPA, the Health Department of Natural Resources, Grace King with all of them, you guys and that, not only used but years before using that. They haven't been a thing done until from that. Crown, they run sewage to the Hutton and that. Why can't Oakland extend theirs out a little bit and that, you know. Then another thing, these people's out here working, getting paid under the table and that, dumping grindings from mining bits, tars, wheels, rotors, drums and that, dumping everything right on top of the ground and that. And then health department, Melinda was out. She's supposed to get back with me. Why don't she bring a camera and take pictures of these people, neighbors and that. They're dumping their sewage. They're going out. And it's not only in Rosedale. Up here at the apartments and that, the people in that can't get up and down the steps to the bathrooms, but they just run out the back door and they use their backyard and that. A couple places, business places, Don Nines up there, classic car. They don't use their bathrooms and that. The guys are going out amongst the cars and that. I live next door to them. That smell comes down to my house and that. The drugs is the same way and that. Every day, you know, I got to put up with the neighbors using drugs and that. I'm getting tired of it. You know, I've lived up there going on 7 years now, and I put almost 3,000 pounds of lime on my yard, and that neighbors gets mad at me because I put lime on my yard. It has helped my water a little bit. Health department said my water's fit to drink. Let them come and drink it. And you turn the spigot on and it's orange. It's not an orange in the water, and the water needs to be taken care of, not only at my place, but above me too.
Thank you. Eric.
Several issues. Sorry, but with what Richard was saying, you know, there was people that did participate in that process in the beginning. To hear that you've got modifications, and these modifications were done in meetings that were separate than or not public to, for us to be able to participate, those that did or spent the time or put the energy into it, it seems like you'd want to have, there was arguments that were made during most of those committee meetings that people that had knowledge and background to those points were able to argue a point. If a given argument was done without the opposition to it or the discussion about it, you don't know what the pro and the con was to be able to come to that conclusion or how the conclusion was derived. To the transparency, we had last year agreed that we were going to go ahead and put the administrative sessions, let us know what the agendas were on that, and that stopped again. We haven't been doing that, well, since, no offense, Kevin, but since Kevin's been here.
Yes.
You know, it'd be nice to know what's going on so that when there are those types of things that we want, again, there's so much going on in our lives, all of us. I think most of the people that are here have so many things going on.
That'll be fixed today.
Okay.
That piece will be fixed today.
And then my last question is that I know that we had the 28th is coming up for this meeting. Is there a fire sale to have this meeting then, or is there some reason that we can't put out a little more publication or have a two-step process that allows for one, like the questions that you may derive at that time? When we did the stuff with the Marcellus Shale, the state ended up actually compiling what the questions were to show where the positions. So if you guys utilize the input that came in from it, you statistically have the input that came in from those that participated to show why you may have modified or changed or moved towards a given position. It just seems that to have that two-step, one where you've got the questions that are being asked.
We've never said we wouldn't have a second step. We have to get to the first step. We've been here a year and have done nothing with the watershed management plan for all intents and purposes. That's one thing
that you would have
to do,
is to
move forward with it.
And that without sharing how the input came out, that a decision would come out that, you know, I would never accuse anybody of going against what the majority was going for, but I would hate to see that would be how it could be perceived, because the information was not shared, nor was it brought back out to the public to have that dialogue on it. That's it. My last point is, sorry, Mark. Mark's trying to get in. Engage Mountain Maryland had sent you a letter 2 months ago, and we had a deadline that we were hoping to have a response by December 31st.
It is drafted and signed and in the mail as we speak.
Thank you.
Mark,
I was going to piggyback on what Eric was talking about, and I was wondering if you could, during this session, record all the questions that were asked and actually publicize the answers either online or somehow, so that people, like what Eric was saying, so that the public knows what the responses were to the questions, that once you've had time to consider them. And it could also even be, you know, maybe not necessarily verbatim, since you might have some duplication, but kind of your synopsis of what you got from the questions and, you know, how you replied publicly.
I might just suggest you get a legal opinion on that, because if somebody talks to you, I'm not certain that, I'll just use myself as an example. If I went and talked to Jim about something, or I sent him, if it's in written form, it might be different, but I'm not sure that my question would specifically be allowed to be public. I'm not positive about that. I'm just suggesting getting a legal opinion.
The question's at this January 28th.
I'm not talking, he's talking, you're talking in general, any questions?
No, I was thinking just what was happening at the public hearing.
Oh, at the 28th.
Because that would be public.
Well, that, yeah, that's public. That's a public hearing. I thought you meant any questions.
No, I can't see that they would be, I can't, you know, to defend you guys, I'd hate to see, I don't think you can answer all the questions, and I don't think that you can, we could expect that that would happen, but I'd like to see the questions and how the questions are, you know, given to a certain, you know, whether it's lake levels or to, you know, given positions to see how that breaks out. You know, like I said, there's what was there was a total of 10 initially. I don't know how it broke down in the end, but there was the divisions to see how many questions were posed towards each of those supporting or opposed to some process. And the answer is I just can't see you guys being able to, no offense, brother, but I just can't see you doing it.
I think it might be Morphy's. I don't think it's practical to try to answer every specific question, but I think we might be able to do a summary of the salient issues that came up during the meeting.
Well,
I think we can probably.
I think we're going to see that anyways, because that's how you're going to be modifying or not modifying the plan.
Or maybe
based
you could,
on that.
Maybe you could just put that as an agenda item for your commission meeting after this. We hear a lot about public input. Here's some salient factors we took away from it and some implications for possible changes that might need to be considered. There needs to be an interim step before decisions are made back there.
I think there certainly will be. What exactly that looks like, I don't know if it's a second meeting, if it's our meeting here or what that is, but you know, certainly if it's going to be changed, there will be a broadcast of that so people can see it.
But you would lay out why and what the change is.
Well, I think we need to have an opportunity to digest whatever comes out of that. We don't know. I mean, there were a lot of smart people that spent an awful lot of time putting this together. I'd be very surprised if we, and I know some people disagree, but I'd be very surprised if we end up making a lot of wholesale changes to the plan. I'm not saying we wouldn't, but I just don't understand how that would come.
Well, the changes that the commissioners made to the master plan weren't wholesale changes. They were very targeted, specific changes that people had bought into. That's just as a point of clarification. Is she right if I send you an email that's private? You can't share that with the public?
I specifically said not in writing. I said if I talked to you, but not
a
question in writing.
I thought it was an email, sorry.
Just the last thing on this.
I don't know. That's a good, because if you send to just one of them, I don't know if that is.
I think the presumption would be you have to be clerical. I think the presumption is you have to be clerical.
Actually, I will make this statement. I'm no attorney, but anything emailed to us is public domain.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's
private conversation.
That's why I said that.
Exactly. Paul.
Real quick question. Paul Durham, Garrett County Board of Realtors. Recommendation when you meet with MDE and report out on that is perhaps provide some type of timeline or clarification of what public consultation or involvement will happen prior to the promulgation of the regulations and what will happen after the promulgation of regulations. You have your hearings and all of that are public, a public process, but whether MDE is going to provide the county with any pre- and the nature of that.
And that's really the gist of this meeting is exactly, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
But I know you know that everybody knows this, but at some point we have to finalize things and make a decision, and not everybody's going to be happy with everything that's in the plan. We just can't, wordsmith and keep going forever and ever until we think everybody's happy, because it'd be a decision.
Now I'm talking about the meeting with MDE on Wednesday.
I understand what you're saying.
Oh, okay, about the plan.
Yeah.
All right. I thought you were back talking about that.
No,
because
got a plan to make a plan about
I was changing the subject, guys. I was helping you out.
Yeah, he's shifting gears. Back to fracking.
Because there's that legislative deadline of October 1st, that there's a drop-dead date where they've got to drop those regs in the hopper for the AELR committee. And that it's a mandatory. They'll have to do it in order to conform to the law. Well, what happens on the local level between now and that drop-dead date is probably what people are more interested in,
right,
rather than what they because the law says you've got to drop these regs on this date. So there will be a product.
And I think that's really why we got the meeting set up to once again reiterate, we expect to see things done here accessible to our residents.
Right.
You guys are talking about adopting the plan, but as part of the adoption of the plan, there are specific ordinances and changes that would occur within the zoning of Deep Creek Lake in the way that it was written in the finalized plan. Are you anticipating being able to adopt those ordinances or those changes through the Planning Commission without any other changes to that? Because there are some specific, the fracking one would be the one that would be very specific, because it would have to delineate that the wellbore be outside of the watershed but still allow for the horizontals to come under and participate with the landowners there, which would be different than what was before, which was the high water mark. It was 2,000 feet from the high water mark.
Mm-hmm. You're the Planning Commission guy.
You're the Planning Commission. Here's the bus, watch it come.
Yeah.
I think there's a distinction between adopting the plan and implementing the plan.
Yeah,
I think that's what you're talking about. I think
Like I said, adopting the plan, I mean, we can adopt the plan and let it sit for 4 years and nobody does anything, but if there's going to be any implementation, are going to be ordinances.
That's the distinction, I think. And I think that might be some of the confusion. We can adopt the plan and do absolutely nothing. I mean, the plan's been there for a long time. People thought the plan was already adopted and was just sitting there. So adopting
you guys made it clear on your first day, I think, was we weren't touching that for a while.
Well, and it's the implementation part that really gets into, and that piece specifically, maybe that's something that doesn't get implemented until, or maybe that's the first thing that's implemented. You have to follow the procedures in place to implement the plan that's laid out.
Right. Well, I know
the adopting of the plan, and that's what I tried to say earlier, it's not a binding law that once you adopt a plan, everything in there is hook, line, and sinker, and this is the way it is. It's part of the process then that drives you in the direction of doing the things that you want to do, which is the implementation.
All we're doing is putting wheels on the bus so we can drive there.
Exactly. Yes, ma'am.
Question. Where did that plan come from? Who drafted the plan to begin with?
Oh, Barbara, how many people were involved?
Was it about 8 people on the planning committee? And then there were probably, 50 people maybe on the various subcommittees? So it didn't come from DNR or something like that.
Oh, it did totally come from DNR. Ultimately, they were the ones who...
On there. There was county staff on there.
Yes.
There was DNR staff on
right.
there. And we
right.
were staff only.
There were major sections that were recommended by the subcommittees that were not allowed to go through by DNR secretary.
If you look at the plan, it gives the background on where the plan came from, and it lists all the committees and who participated in the committees.
Yeah, all that's
but
listed.
But that's not what I want to be sure, Jim, you understand. The comments I made go back to a sense of history and the context in which you guys arrived. And there is part of the, I would encourage you definitely to at least reach out to everybody that served on the subcommittees and on the committee itself to be sure that they know about the upcoming meeting. I think there's a lot of history in what's written down on a piece of paper's a part of the history, but it isn't what part of the process.
Yes.
Totally different topic. Can we change?
I don't know.
Shifting gears on the bus.
Completely.
I guess.
Just to remind everyone that PACE is the annual legislative reception and breakfast, Mountain Maryland PACE, is January 21st and 22nd. The deadline for early bird registration is tomorrow. If you haven't booked your hotel rooms yet, do so.
Lou's booked.
I think it's been booked for a little while, too. But there's really good deal on rates at the O'Callaghan. We do anticipate a great turnout for the breakfast on Friday morning. We know the governor is going to be there speaking, the comptroller, Senator Cardin, Congressman Delaney, and we do anticipate some really good information to be provided from the administration. The reception on Thursday evening, we now know we're in competition with the reception being thrown by the governor as well. But we're very hopeful that we'll still have a lot of the legislators and their staff, as well as the staff of the cabinets, the cabinet secretaries or the departments. So, you know, we can, the more people that are there, the louder our voices. So I really encourage all of you to attend. The website is mtmdpace.com.
Mike.
You all have, I want to change subjects again. You all have, as I understand it, all supported the idea of fracking in Garrett County if it's done safely and responsibly. And I advocated at the Shale Gas Advisory Group that it's more effective and efficient to have input on the front end, trying to make sure regulations will accomplish those objectives, rather than waiting until some bureaucrat in Annapolis, who's probably never been here, comes up and react in a very short period of time. Not everyone, most people, but not everyone, there's still a few people that aren't actively engaged in DMM, Engage Mountain, Maryland. Can you guys give some idea, each of you, on what you mean when you say fracking should be done safely and responsibly? The EMM letter was safely. Not everybody's going to see the response because not everybody's part of EMM. Maybe they'll put it in an ad in the paper. But also the responsible part of that. Can you just give some notion of, in your mind, when you say that, what's the content of that? What do you mean? What are you trying to accomplish with that?
That's a pretty broad thing to start off with, I think. I'm going to tell you, Mike, we get this a lot. We've had it a lot. We've said over and over that we need to look at the state's regulations to see what they're going to be before we can really do anything different than what they're going to tell us they're going to do.
But I understand that. But it seems to me that if you're
how are you going to say that your automobile, when you go out and get in, it's not going to have a flat tire and kill you on the way home or something? How are you going to say that your car is 100% safe? How are you going to say that fracking can be 100% safe unless you just don't do it? And that's not what I'm advocating.
I'm not saying that either. I'm just saying, all right, they're going to put regulations out October 1st of this year.
Right.
You're going to look at them and decide whether they're are going to allow fracking to take place safely and responsibly. So what's the framework that you're going to have when you look at those regulations to decide if they are going to allow fracking to take place safely and responsibly? You have to have some notion of what safe and responsible is, I would think, although you didn't want to talk about health issues at the SGAG meeting. Is it responsible to have fracking if it's going to cause a 40%, even a 20%, drop in property values in the watershed, which reduces your property taxes by about $20 million. I'm just saying, what's the framework that you're going to use to filter the regulations that come out of some bureaucrat to decide whether, yes, those will result in fracking being safe and responsible, or no, they won't? If they say, let's have a 500-foot setback, is that going to be safe and responsible? I mean, there must be some content to that notion, or is it simply just a slogan that has no meaning?
No, I think it's just wait and see what the state's regulations are, because maybe they'll be stricter than what I would come up with.
But how are you going to decide that? How are you going to decide?
I got to see them before I can decide. Do I not?
You know, I think you have to have some sort of framework. You have to have some objectives of what you think of safe and responsible.
Well, I think, and I don't mean to interject and interrupt, but I think part of that, and I mean, it's a good question. It's a legitimate question. I think part of it, what you just touched on, the economic factor, and that's going to be a responsible part, not necessarily a safety piece probably, and I think that's why we wanted to do the economic study, germane to Garrett County, and see what results come back from that. And, you know, there's going to be two sides to that. And there's going to be the pros and the cons, just like everything else. And then to me, you know, just like everything else I've always done, you weigh the pros to the cons and you take the best information available at the time from an economic standpoint. I'm not an economist, so I have to rely on someone else to give me that data. If we get it on good accord that it's going to be an economic boom, that, you know, and the doomsday stuff doesn't really equate, then that's one thing. If it comes back and says, well, you know what, it's really not going to be this boom and everything else is going to plummet, then that's a whole different scenario. But for me to go out there and do that study myself, I don't have the time, the expertise, or any of that to do that. I have to rely on what we're putting in place to do that for. You know, so that on the responsibility thing, and that's when I ran. I said, I think we need to do the economic study, and that was the reason why, because you have to see what the end result and the finances is going to be. You know, as far as the setbacks and all that stuff, you know, and I'll be glad to share a copy of the letter with you if you want to see. Anybody who wants it can have it.
I hope it's
not
in the paper.
What's that?
I hope it's going to be in the paper.
Well,
can you send it to them?
What's that?
Can you give it to them? The paper? Can you
email it? I don't think that's our responsibility to do. We were asked by a group to respond, and we did.
Okay.
And you know, but I'm telling you all, if you want a copy, we'll run it and give it to you right now. I mean, it's not like we're trying to hide it.
How do you decide then if they say we're going to have a 500-foot setback from the high water mark? Is that safe and responsible or not? I mean, how do you three, since you're reviewing it and are going to comment on it and look for changes, suggest changes, how do you decide that?
I think it's pretty obvious that we don't have that level of expertise. I don't know that you do. To address it's an example. One of the things we might look for, you brought up property values in the Deep Creek Lake watershed. I think we all are on record as saying that we don't support fracking within the watershed, and then Debbie's analysis shows that probably couldn't happen there anyway. That would be one thing I would look for, is no fracking in the Deep Creek Lake watershed. That answers the example that you gave.
Yeah, that's right.
There are many others. What's the right setback? I don't know. I would hope, and one of our purposes in going to meet with MDE is I would hope that they're going to look at the best practices and what the standards are in other states and how those standards have been, setbacks, for example, have probably been modified, I assume, based on experience. And now Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and I, among others, have a lot of experience with what is the right setback. I don't know what the right setback is. So we're going to have a certain amount of trust and confidence in MDE and others to make sure that they adopt best practices, safe practices. I've worked enough with MDE and the state regulatory agencies that I have a good bit of trust in their ability to be able to regulate and control things.
You guys keep saying that. I don't.
Well,
I'm more skeptical, I guess. But anyway, sorry. That's the kind of thing I was looking for.
Yeah. Well, Mike, and another thing we've all agreed to, and again, I think this comes back to maybe the safety part of what you asked. All three of us support full disclosure of any chemicals used within the fracking fluid, and that's not something that every state has wanted or advocated for, and I don't know if this state will, but that's something we're on record with our letters and conversations with the state, that this is something that we support as part of being safe and responsible. I find that to be safe and responsible.
Can we put the transportation recommendations of SGA in that same? Something that would be part of that?
I think that's a very big part of being responsible, and that's why I think we want to see if that's touched at all in the regs, because that's an issue we certainly will put time and effort into, because that is a big piece of it.
Could you, there's some sort of a strategic planning process underway for the health department in the county looking at the next 5 years. Can you put the impact of fracking in that and have them come up with some things based on literature and experience that they think we need to be aware of? I don't think it's part of it now.
I'm on that group, the community health assessment to which you're referring. What that looks at, fracking wouldn't really be part of that assessment, but it could be part of an overall strategic plan, but it wouldn't be part of the assessment because it's not something happening here right now.
But the plan's for the next 5 years.
I didn't say the plan, I said the health assessment. Well, you can't assess the impacts here when it's not happening. So the assessment is on our current situation. That's the assessment.
So that's the first step in this planning process. So in the planning part, you can anticipate what's going to happen 5 years from now.
And that's beyond, I mean, I'm just right now involved in the planning process, the health assessment. So that plan, I mean, that would have to, you'd have to look at a whole lot of other things. That would be something to discuss with Rodney, I would imagine.
Mike, I'll give you a copy of the letter then if you want to see it. But Jessica, you had a question.
Yeah, I have a question going back to the process issue. So we have this hearing, you know, people are emailing you and talking to you. We have the hearing and people are giving their 3 minutes worth. And then you're going to make a decision, right?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
This is the beginning of the process to get the ball moving forward to pull the plan off the shelf and try to do something.
Okay. I guess the thing that would be most important is once you have finish that process, that before you adopt the lake plan, that you sit down and explain to everybody why you made the changes you made. Very specific explanation of why. And so people can understand why the changes were made. And if then, at that point, people have a real problem with that, then there should be probably a discussion there too. Because once you've made decisions, then it would be useful for people to have some input into that and to really understand what you're saying.
Yeah, it would be a bookend of the one that the DNR held.
Right.
They did that for the state, sort of saying this is the plan, a comparable one.
All right, guys, we are at 5 o'clock. We have executive session for personnel matters. Our next meeting actually is the 19th here, and then we'll have our public hearing on the watershed management plan on the 28th, and the next meeting after that is the 1st, which is the public meeting here. We have a motion to move to executive session for personnel matters. We have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
Motion and second. Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are you guys doing the remote meetings this year too?
Say that again.
Are you guys doing the remote meetings this year too, like jumping around?
Yeah.